Everything's the same, one thing. Shin Lamed Dalet.
Where's the Mohos?
Okay, so this is a very, I don't know if this is exactly a Musar Van, but it's a very fascinating thing. It's more like a Musar Hashgafa. So it's not exactly a Musar Van. It's usually supposed to be practical applications. Maybe there are some practical applications, but it's practical understanding. The Rishiva, we know, was very much into Musar, into a lot of things, is what mode, how a person works. And a lot of the shmuzim revolved around the concept of subconscious. So subconscious is something we find a great deal in the secular psychology. So the million-dollar shaita is the Jewish belief in subconscious the same as the non-Jewish belief in subconscious? That's the Shaila. And what is the differences? And it happens to come out in this week's Parsha because there's a shmuz in the Chidushi Alev where the Shiva highlights the idea of subconscious. And I don't know exactly if the person who wrote it right, but my recollection is that shmuz highlights one of the major differences between secular subconscious and Torah subconscious. Okay, that's the topic of the Van. Now, it's interesting that this Sefer deals with this Shaila too. This Sefer, people should be familiar with this Sefer, it's called Sri De'esh. Sri De'esh, there was a very big Gadol. His name was Rav Yaakov Yechiel Weinberger, who was a Talmud of the Alter, Talmud of Salbaka, and appearing with a very chashuv Talmud. Who went after he, so to speak, graduated, and he became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Berlin. And then Berlin was already a little bit, the Yeshiva in Berlin was a little bit more, it was like a little bit, you know, they had some secular program there too, also in the Yeshiva. He also got his secular knowledge, and he became the head of that school in Berlin. But it was the Yeshiva in Berlin. It was, you know, like,
It was
the Yeshiva Gdola, it was Smicha, yes. But it also had secular studies. Or maybe they themselves had the secular teacher subject there. And they had a lot of scholarly. It was a German Jew. I don't know if you know, German Jews are very stark. What? He did get married. He got divorced, but he got married. But he had a very rough life for many reasons, and one of the reasons is that at the end that he was the Germans, because he was from Poland and he was a Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Germany. So when the Nazis came to power, they threw him out of Germany. So he was sent back to Poland, and then he ended up in Warsaw during the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And then he was sent after the Warsaw. So he was like one of the main rabbanim in Warsaw during the whole period. And then after the uprising, when they liquidated the ghetto, he was sent to a concentration camp. And he somehow survived the concentration camp. And he was basically a very, everyone that he knew was Talmidim, and family was all killed. So he ended up, he had a Talmud who was in Switzerland, and he ended up going to Switzerland, and he had a little teeny yeshiva somewhere in the Alps of Switzerland, I don't know. But it was considered the Gedolei HaDor, who was a little bit in seclusion at the end of his life. He was at his little yeshiva somewhere in Switzerland, and he wrote these four volumes of 3DH. And I don't know, probably the 1960s, I don't know. Anyway, but he was considered one of the biggest Gedolei HaDor. It was considered a very big Gadol. And in the Sri De'esh, in the back of the Sri De'esh, he has pieces on the Musar movement itself, a lot of Musar people and people he knew, like biographic sketches. And of all the pieces on the Musar, his are the most, you know, Ktifa, you know, like it's not, he doesn't just discuss his stories, you know, he discusses much more analytical of the shitas, the chassidim and misnagdim, you know, he has a piece, and you know, he gets very tief. Okay, so here, let's read this piece. So he discusses the same shaila about the difference of, what's the difference in psychology between, first of all, are they the same, are they different? So let's read, and then, I don't know how much time we got, and we got till Shachris is tomorrow at 7, so we have a little time, but we'll see. Okay. For Omar, let's say no, our Uvda. Kar Omdu, let's say our Uvda. We already stopped on this point. It's a point that people should know. Shahat Tiglis Hamadois. This revolution, this, you know, that the modern science have revealed, they come up with some new insight. Aldaz Kaye Nevesh Atachas is Saf Hakara. That there's a life or a brain under the consciousness, which we call subconscious, Tachas, under. The Saf Hakara, Hakara is consciousness. Shehefia B'Shaita, that it's shocked and it's time. As Chugi Ayidei, as Bahoram Gudo. And there's this concept shocked the whole world. The whole intellectual world was taken back by this discovery that there's a whole mind going on. Shvekvar Hoysa, the Nixay Son Barzo, right? That's an expression. It became the basic, Nixay Son Barzo means like, you know, the basic foundation, the rock of, like a woman goes into a marriage, she goes to her Son Barzo. Shomada Chodosh, this is the foundation of modern science. The Nixay Son Barzo, and every intellectual person know that. Torah Chodosh, this new Torah. Zoom, Ipe Rav Yisrael Salanter, thou, Yot Rishayna. They stole it from Rav Yisrael. Right? The Valdic.
How long before that?
Not necessarily that much. Yadua. Right? He said it was taken from Rav Yisrael. Yadua. Kishikas Hafisiko and Liziga. I don't know how you pronounce that word. What? Saiseko Lagia. Shall, now this is a hard word.
Sigmund Freud.
You see also, and his people hush sasa. It's al yizko al yisayin hanocha shahatoda. It's atuda tazkar. The whole basis was based on this realization that there's something under the conscious. If you always had an even apina, Torah the fool shemachushon, and it gave the theory medicures. Omnam, however, should be known. Rav Yisrael Salanter Hiklem as Freud b'shivim oshmonim shana. He beat Freud to it 70 or 80 years. He mekufelas the mamoro. It's written. It's mekufelas. It's there. I'm not sure if the word. In his maimer, Shem Rav Yisrael. In other words, he actually printed it. It's not just that it was verbatim. It was printed 70 or 80 years before. The maimer shenikta b'sefer eitz pri. Right, I have here an Or Yisrael, and in the back of this Or Yisrael, this is not a typical Or Yisrael because they put more things in it. There's an Or Yisrael, and Evan Yisrael is another sefer that's not so common, which is also from Rav Yisrael Salanter. And the back of this printing, they have a thing called. Lost it, but it's somewhere here. Somewhere. Not here. It's somewhere. It's free. Yes. But I can't find it. What? He might have proven it, but the you know, it's easy to prove when you hear the concept. When you get the concept already, here it is. Maimer B'Inyan Chizik, this here it is, this piece. What happened was, just for the record, that Rav Yisrael, the altar, when he started, one of his first things that he did when he was a young man, is he started a kodel, and he put out that was the beginning of Sabaka Yeshiva, right? The Kovner, they started this Kovner kodel, and from the Kovner kodel grew the Kovner, the Sabaka Yeshiva. The altar at one point was in charge. And they put out a kuntres called Eitz Pri, which to pre-Eitz, not a pre-Eitz, which was to pre-Eitz, which was to raise money for the Kodo. And in there, they have a few pieces. It's one of the few pieces that we have written from the author. They wrote them without his name. One of the only places that we have pieces that the author wrote himself. So then when the yeshiva put out, when they honored Rabbi Naiman, Shmuel Naiman, they put out a book, they put out printed pieces from the author's own Ksav Yad. They were from the Sefer Pre-Aids, that Rabbi Alter has pieces in there. And then he has a piece from the Chafetz Chaim, and he has a piece from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And they're all about importance of learning. This piece is from Yisrael Salanter, is from there. And this whole piece is about subconscious. He basically talks about that if there's a, he gives a story, but he talked about Keiches HaPlimis and Metzonis. He gives a story about a person who had a son who he hates because he's a son, is a good for nothing bum, and he just sits and he takes drugs all day, and he tells him it's the worst, the biggest mistake of my tragedy in my life is having this son, and it's just a waste of life, and it's worthless. And he has an apprentice that he loves, that he's the most, you know, helpful, and he loves him. And then they're all living in the same house together, and the father wakes up in the middle of the night, and the house is on fire. He says, who does he run to save? His apprentice that he loves, or the son that he hates? Son that he hates, and he says he's a worthless, and his life has no meaning, and he just might as well be, he's already dead, he's brain dead, so he might as well, but right, he'll save his son anyway. So Yisrael explains that because when there's a fire in the house burning in the middle of the night and you wake up, there's no rational thinking. You're functioning on instincts. And instincts is your subconscious mind coming out. It's not your logic. Could be if you make a logical, rational decision, you might decide otherwise. But instincts mean the subconscious. And it talks about, and the subconscious is stronger than the conscious, whatever, and that they come out in different things. Then he has a whole long piece about the keichas hakeim, the sleeping, the subconscious thoughts and the intellectual thoughts. That's a whole long piece here. So he definitely talks about the concept of subconscious thinking. So he says that he beat Freud to it 70 or 80 years. This is Rabbi Yisrael. It was printed in the Sefer. The Sefer was printed by the Alter, but my piece was written by Rabbi Yisrael. It was written by Rabbi Yisrael's Talmud, wrote up something Rabbi Yisrael said. So it's a... What? Wasn't the Alter? I don't think so. It says it was written by a Talmud Echad. I don't know. It could be the Alter wrote it, but I don't think it. I never heard that the Alter wrote, but it could be I'm wrong. Or it could be I forgot. It says in the Sefer that it was printed by Maimer Zeh, is not Rabbi Yisrael, Rach Niknav Miksav HaKutsuri Alpi Mitzvasan, that someone wrote it up for him. But it doesn't say who wrote it. Doesn't say. As far as I know, we don't know who wrote it. But maybe some people do know Rabbi. Maybe it is possible that the author wrote it. I don't know. Anyway, Lemaisa. So Rabbi Yisrael wrote a whole thing about the subconscious mind. So now the question is, okay, and the question is, what's the difference, right? That's our shaila. So if you look in the second paragraph, Lo kan ha-mokom nikon up in yituach makish ha-teres ha-zois. We're not doing this for glory. Not because we want to say, oh, you see, Rabbi Yisrael is right, you know. They quote up the stars. We're not doing this just because we want the truth to be known. However, yesh inyan rav, there's a very big inyan, b'havchonas ha'evdel, to understand the difference, ha'mahusi, Shebein Torah Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Bein Ho'ak Skula HaFreudis. Okay. It's very important to understand the difference. Okay. Let's read the next paragraph. Nafsho show adam ke'ilu asuyim shikfo shikfo. It's a very fascinating line. The human being is like made, I heard this from Rav Huttner, it's like an onion. Shikfas, shikfas, means that there are levels, layers, see, shikfas, which means that you can have one level can contradict another level. So that Esav, on one level, he loves his father, and on another level, he hates him and he wants to kill him. And there's no contradiction, because there's different parts. It's decompartmentalized. Shikfa agabi shikfa, one layer on the next. El yoyna shniya tachtayna. Okay. And you know, show all them rakov, you know, the person, the brain, only sees the top level. And he thinks he means he knows himself. But that's wrong. He only sees the top. He doesn't know what's going on inside him. Okay. Okay, I'm skipping because we. If anyone wants to read this, this is really fascinating reading. But we have no time to read it.
Wait, he's saying that he only recognizes his conscious, not his subconscious?
Yes, most people don't know what's in your subconscious mind, yes.
We can never get to it.
That's way, we're going to get there. We'll get there. But he says, he talks about that, he talks here about in paragraph, the second column, we'll talk about that. Okay. So what's the difference? Okay, so if you learn the last paragraph, four lines down. He says five lines down. Kan ono magin itchuma nivda betaklis ahev de mitarasas. The last paragraph, chashivusa show azimra datis. Five lines down. The kan ono, I'm skipping because it was skipping. Kan anu magiyim. Now we get to the point, l'tchum ha-mavdil, to the great division. Ha-tachlis hevdil makes the difference that it's the difference that there's no, you know, the extreme difference. V'toris ha-fisiologis shofroi tziyata l'tchumah shofroi tziyata l'kuz. Okay. Okay, basically, what is he saying? He's saying that everybody agrees that there's a subconscious, which is somehow motivating a person to do things that he doesn't know. But the question is, what is the subconscious? So, according to Freud, the deepest subconscious feelings are the base human emotions, right? Freud was very big. I know you have to be a very big mushkas. He was very big into sex, and et cetera, et cetera. That was, he felt that everything revolved around that. If you read his works, which I did not read, but that's what they say, he was like a, people say he was mounting something probably mentally sick a little bit. He was like, everything was about Taivis Nashim, and know that a baby, when he's born, he's jealous of his father because he wants his mother, right? All these, it's one of these crazy philosophies. But everything was revolved around that the deepest human feelings are the animalistic drives of the human. While the Torah holds that the deepest feelings that are the strongest part of your subconscious is what? Is your Tzom Elokim. So that's, you know, gigantic difference. So there's your subconscious mind, but what's your subconscious mind? Now, obviously, there are many things. There are many levels in the subconscious mind. We're granting there are levels in shikfas and shikfas. But the question is, which is this, when you get to the depths of the depths? So psychologists don't grant Hashem. So there's they have the human is basically a behemoth.
Aren't a lot of like shmuzim though based off that, like even a big tzaddik, all this.
Yes,
like,
but that's true. We do that too. But there's still a major difference that what a lot of our shmuzim would also be, many shmuzim, that even the biggest Russia, right? I mean, she has so many shmuzim that the biggest Russia has, you know, if you hit the right button. Because there's, you know, that the Taina Nayach was that he didn't speak to the Dora Mabo on the highest madrega, so that the one of the basic differences that he makes is that obviously there are different levels, and yet we would say there are some levels that your desire is for physical taivas, etc., etc. It says that Lot went to Sodom because he had a desire for znus. So there is such a thing that there is a that might have been a subconscious desire, you know, very likely. So there is such a thing. But Freud was a lowlife. So he learned that everything revolved around and Fakir. They used psychology as a way of excusing everything. Because see, psychology was a use of an excuse. I have an excuse for my bad behavior because I have a subconscious motivation. And my subconscious motivations are all tame, treif. They're all behemoths. So what do you want from me? Deep down, I'm a behemoth, and my subconscious motivations control me. So there, it's psychology uses a lot subconscious as an excuse for bad behavior. And don't listen. You can't be blamed for all your averis because it's not your fault. It's your subconscious drive. The Torah, just the opposite. If the subconscious, your real subconscious is Selma Elokim. So you can't use your subconscious as an excuse. Furthermore, and this is what I wanted to get, that's what he says. You read this piece, as this Hebrew is a little difficult, I admit, but that's what he talks about, a lot of this piece, that if you look in the, right away in the first paragraph, in the second paragraph, paragraph Lokan, he says, about eight lines down, Rav Dov Katz, Ramaz Abisifro, Pepiskan Hamusar. He makes it cut. He has one short line. Hatara Vesikologist show Freud Miss Alemes. It closes its eye to May Hagure Melokisha Adam, to the godly part of the human. Mechede Kanishama Shabo, which we hold is the Iker. Okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
We would say, though, that we would agree that that part is what? To some extent true.
Of course,
some of the unconsciousness is the
sometimes there's, because we said there's different shikhfas, but the strongest shikhfa we would still say is the Selma Elokim. Yes, that's a more part of you. Okay, anyway, but I want to get to what the shmooze in this week's parasha, but I don't have time for the shmooze, so you look it up in the Chidush Shalei. The Rashiva said, a Gevaltike Yisayin, how much time we got? The Rashiva said that Yaakov, when he went down to Mitzrayim, he brings a medrash that Yaakov was nervous that maybe he's going down for the wrong reason. Maybe he's going down because he's about taiva, because Yosef is going to give him good food, and he was worried just like that. He's going for food, not because of Shem Shemayim, not because it's the right reason. So what did Yaakov do? So Yaakov is nervous that maybe he has a subconscious motivation, and his subconscious motivation is motivating him to do it, and he's doing it for, and he doesn't really realize, because Yaakov thinks, the way Rashi learned the message, obviously Yaakov felt he's going down to Shem Shemayim, but he was nervous that maybe he's lying to himself, and he's really going because of a subconscious motivation, and he's just rationalizing that he's going to Shem Shemayim. So what did Yaakov do? So the way the Reshiva learned the Medrash, what did Yaakov do?
He
what? No? Anyone know? Come on, you people don't know the basic shmuzim. Oy vey. He did the push button.
He asked himself,
which means he says, am I going because of the food?
Or if
he
there's
did
no
the
food, I still
push
go.
Button. What?
Or if there's no food, I still go.
Right. In other that's words,
going for the food, isn't
in other words, well, no, I think he learned the other way. He just, which means the Rashiva held like this, that the difference between, well, this was the major difference between the psychology subconscious and Torah subconscious is how deep the subconscious is. In other words, in the psychology world, the subconscious is very, very deep. There's no way that you can figure out what's in your subconscious mind. You can't see it. It's too far buried. And you can't see it, and you can't change it.
That's not, I mean, I think they proved that wrong.
Okay, but a lot of it, that's, they feel, you know, you have your,
change your subconscious.
You have your things that from when you were 3 years old, that you this and this happened when you were a little boy. You don't even remember that episode happened
right,
to you.
That, that's what therapy does. Then they,
right.
they bring
but
the subconscious.
But you don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. So in the normal, okay, man, in a normal situation, I have no recollection of that episode that ever happened to me. Meanwhile, I'm running my whole life because of this, and I'm marrying this girl because, not because I really like her, but because she reminds me of my babysitter when I was 1 year old that I loved. And, you know, like the psychologists have many, many things that a normal person, maybe with therapy, I don't know, but on a normal daily life, you have no way of really knowing what's motivating you, because you don't really, you can't access your subconscious mind. And it's very hard to change your subconscious mind. He says the major difference between Torah and psychology is that the Torah holds that the subconscious mind is right below the conscious. Not, and therefore, it's very easy, it's doable. It's very, very easy to access it and to discover it. So therefore, there's two things. You can figure out what's in your subconscious mind. You can analyze yourself and realize what's really making you tick. And you can change it, which means it's also the same idea. In the psychologists, they use the subconscious mind as a lot as an excuse. I have these deep feelings buried in my subconscious based on what happened to me when I was 3 years old, that my mother, you know, left me home without the babysitter, and I was crying, and I don't know, and therefore I developed a hatred for girls with red hair, and that's why I killed this girl, because she's red hair, you know. And, you know, and I have no way of knowing, and I don't know, and you know, and but we believe, first of all, two is that the ikkar deep down is your Selma Elokim, and second, even these other ones that are there, you can easily, if you wanted to, you can access it. You can discover it. How do you discover it? By push button. That was Rashima's big word. You got to know the word, the code word.
What's the term?
Push button. Push button.
Push several more buttons.
Means you go ahead and like this. Yaakov is nervous that maybe he's going for food. So there's a way of telling. He asks himself, am I interested in food? If subconsciously I am food is what's driving me, then when I blatantly raise a question, it would register, yes, you're right, you got me. The it might be hidden, but when you put a spotlight on it, then it comes out.
Rabbi said there are layers.
So even on the layers, what he's learning is that you can, they're not buried. The layers would mean that they're different. But if Esav would have asked himself, do I hate my father? He would have said, yes. You know, come to yes, I realize I do. Yes. Because when you raise, when you mention, I'm telling you this, see what Yeshiva held. You want to argue him? You can argue.
Yeshiva
held that it's the feelings are there. So that it's just that you're not thinking about them. The brain thinks of it without going through your conscious thought.
The Rashiva held that a person has the koach to psychoanalyze himself.
Yes, the Rashiva held that you can notice things about yourself.
You just have to
realize that. Wait a second, Yaakov, I'm going to Mitzrayim. That's strange. Why am I going to Mitzrayim? Right, the famous story of the altar. The altar decided to go to some city and to speak, and then he realized that was a little strange. Why are they going to go there? It's not really, you know, such a big trip for the, this doesn't call a Yotzeskar Bethsaido. And he analyzed himself, and he concluded that why is he going? Because last time, years ago, he was in that city, and he saw a nice cane with a silver cane, and he wanted to buy it, but it was too expensive, so he didn't buy it. So he still has a Yetzer Hara to go back there to buy that cane, which of course was ridiculous because the cane's probably not there. And if it is there, he's not going to buy it anyway. But subconscious feelings don't have to be logical. But he was able to figure it out. So what you do, another is, Rashida's belief is a person can analyze himself. You see yourself behaving in an unusual fashion. You can ask yourself, why am I doing this? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
am I doing it because of this reason? And if it's the real reason, that was his svara that he called push button. That it, since it's so close to the surface, so when you push the button and you mention it, then it comes out of, then it responds. It says, yes, you got me.
The author would say that was his only reason for going.
I didn't say the only, but yes, that was his main reason.
So I'm saying that's the hard
that was
to
the main reason. He had rationalized it with other reasons because his conscience came up with other rationalization. But the main reason, yes, was this, and it would be when he asked himself, is this really why I'm going? Do I have a desire to buy the cane? Yeah, you know. Come now, that feeling is in me, so I can access it. If do I have that desire to buy a cane? Yeah, I do.
But how do you decide where that's
so
from?
You
how
can
you decide
so
that
because you can figure it out. Which means that the difference is that while psychologists hold that it's very, very deep. And therefore usually you can't even you know it's be, I don't remember what happened when I was 3 years old. I don't remember what these things are. Maybe you're gonna hypnotize me and you'll figure it out and you're going to my, but in a normal way you can't figure out and therefore again you're an inus. Psychologist way you're almost carved an inus because I can't know and also I can, very almost impossible to change. Well, Musser holds, we do Chinuch HaMusser. What's Chinuch HaMusser? Chinuch HaMusser is real, and Musser Bispinus is largely knocking things into our subconscious brain. So that means that we hold two things. We hold we can discover what's in our subconscious, and we can change our subconscious. We can go ahead and use tricks to put things into our subconscious. So we can become, you know, the Chafetz Chaim, they say when he would hear Lashon Hara, he would fall asleep. You know, that was from his subconscious. You know, that wasn't a rational thought. He trained himself. He was so, you know, I told the guys, a Gado walks down the street and he sees a woman who's not dressed neistically. The Gado will instinctively turn away. But he'll turn away so fast that he won't see. If you ask him, did you see that? I didn't see. Why? Why'd you turn? I turned. He won't even know that he turned his head. But he saw it, but it was so fast. That's subconscious mind. It didn't reach yet to his conscious brain. His subconscious brain is faster than the conscious brain because it's like this subliminal message you get in your subconscious first. So the subconscious mind sees this girl that's not sneezed, and it right away says, don't look. So he doesn't look. So he never even registers in his conscious brain. But he obviously saw it because his subconscious mind told him not to see it, not to look. And he actually could see the guy's head turning. They say the Chafetz Chaim would almost fall asleep. When he started Lashon Hara, his brain told him, don't listen, and he would turn off. So I'm just trying to say, how did that happen? He wasn't born that way. So they put it into it. A person can put certain feelings into and behaviors into your subconscious brain. So we do. We claim we do that. He put it. I said, but how did it? But it, to the point that his subconscious mind will be so strong, will tell him to go to sleep or close his ears or turn his head. Not his conscious. Not his conscious mind that's telling him that. Because it's a subconscious mind. Yes, because I don't know, but enough. Which means that there are three basic yesodas. They're all very, very similar. The one yesoda is that we believe that the basic subconscious is a good thing, not a bad thing. So that your main motivation is good, and you'll be if you want to really be happy. You want to be in peace with your subconscious, not just in peace with your conscious. And the way to be in peace with your subconscious is doing what's right, because the strongest subconscious drive is your Tzamel Elokim. So psychologists hold just the opposite, that the strongest subconscious drive is certain taivas. And therefore, if you want to really be happy, they almost tell the person, do bidafka, you know, don't do me, do averis, otherwise you'll never be happy because you feel you have these subconscious drives which are driving you crazy, and you're not, you'll never be happy in yeshiva because you're not giving into your base needs that you need. So it's a major difference. But the other difference, which is what yeshiva said in this week's parsha, is that the Bali Musar hold that the subconscious, a person, right, you can analyze yourself. You can discover, you can see the, just like in learning, you see a simen that there's something deeper, and then you analyze it and you discover the tiefkeit in yourself. If you pay attention, you notice I behaved a little strange. Why did I do that? Rabbi Isaac Shear gave an example. He said, when Shaul, it says in the Psukim that when David came back from after killing Goliath or other warriors, so the people would praise David. And it says that Shaul felt an immediate tinge of jealousy. So he said that at that second, he said, when he writes the whole thing, is that Shaul did not know that he was jealous of David. And that's why Shaul, he writes his piece, that Shaul thought that David was Chayav Misa, because whatever he did, but it was because of an Negiah of Kinah. But he didn't know that he had Kinah. But he said he could have discovered he had Kinah, because it was his first reaction when he heard the people praising David. There was a split second of a Chalisha Sadas.
Can we say that by the Shvatim also?
With yeah, he's saying that same thing. You know, that you could have, they could have discerned. If you pay, he gives this example. If you have your best friend, and I gave the example. I think he actually said this, or they apply it. I don't remember. You have a best friend. Your best friend is a you know, a very good, strong guy in yeshiva. And then you hear, hey, guess what? Your best friend just got engaged to the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter. So now, what is your first split second is, he always gets the good stuff. Oh, Malatim, I'm so happy, wonderful, right? Because consciously, your brain tells you you're supposed to be happy, is your best friend. But your gut, your first second reaction is that you're not happy. But
that's a behemoth.
So that's it. But he's saying, so there, he says, by paying attention to your first second reaction, you can figure out what's in your subconscious mind. Because that you really, the question is, am I jealous of him or not?
What's
the same idea, because it's the, you can figure it, and then you can ask yourself and figure
it. Why is it so at any point, I can stop right now and ask myself any question, and that will.
But it's also, it's saying that it comes out sometimes. It's another, it's, the idea is that it's not as buried as deep. So therefore, here it comes out. When you have this jealousy for your best friend. Now your conscious mind pushes that down because you don't want to know. It's not a kosher thought. So your conscious mind pushes it, but can't push it out of Tony. So it just pushes it into what's called like the subconscious. But as every so often, it will sneak up. So it's the same idea. Then you can notice it. You can ask yourself and do the push buttons, and then you can also notice it. The idea is, it's the same theme. The same theme is that the Dara world held that the subconscious is much closer to the surface. Therefore, sometimes it's noticeable. If you ask yourself, you can discover it. And you can change it. That's what all the things that Rashi said in this week's parsha, basically.
And
he's saying,
so what should have Saul done? What should have Saul done?
He should have noticed it, and then he should have questioned, and he should say, "Hey, am I jealous of David? Why did I have that cringe I felt bad?"
That works at the first second.
That point, that noticing it. Works at the first second. If he would have used a posh button, yes, it would have also worked. But you need sometimes that's another way. Yes, more than can be five ways, believe it or not. Yes.
Push button always works.
I don't know.
Aren't there multiple factors?
Let's say there are 10 things driving you this way and 10 things driving this way. That's not possible to happen. I mean, if you push your body, see that hot dogs are driving you.
I don't know. You're asking me two hard questions. I'm not such, but it could be you can even push buttons and know how much is pushing you if you analyze yourself properly. But the idea is just to say that is that what Rashiva was saying was that psychologists use subconscious as an excuse, because I what am I supposed to do? Anis Rahmana Patre. This is in my subconscious mind. I don't know what's in my subconscious mind. I have no way of knowing what's in my subconscious mind, and I have no way of changing it. So I'm stuck. So I'm almost an Evan. I'm a prisoner to my things that happened to me when I was young, and I don't even remember what happened. And if I even do it, I wasn't responsible for that. My parents raised me wrong. Whatever it is. I watched a TV show when I was 8 years old, and I heard something, and I don't know, and now I'm a slave to these things, and I can't help it. And the Torah is much very different. Adarabba, you can use the subconscious mind. You have control over the subconscious mind, and you can use it as a, not that it's you're an evidence to it, but you can use it. You can put things into your subconscious mind. You can tell your subconscious mind, I don't want to hear Lashon Hara. You can tell your subconscious mind, I don't want to be, you know, and you
how
can,
does a person do that?
Through learning Musar B'Shabbos, that's the way, the Rav Yisrael's example is that reading. He gives this example in that piece. When you teach a person to read, so he looks at a letter and says, Baruch, Atah, come in, you know, and everything you have to think out. But at some point, your eye just would come. Now, how did you figure out what those words are? So somehow, without thinking, the brain, so that's your subconscious brain, is so fast, put together, you never might have seen that word before, but your brain put it together and figured out what the word is. So he said that's because of training, habit. Habit moves it. At some point, it goes from the conscious mind, which is slow, to the subconscious mind, which processes much faster. That's what he basically said. So you by knocking it in, by learning, that's one of the reasons why we learn a lot of Musar. Even though people get frustrated, what are we doing? Why are we learning so much Musar? It's just learning the same thing over and over again. That's right, but by learning the same thing over and over again, we want to knock it in from the conscious brain to the subconscious. And when it gets into the subconscious, it's much more powerful, because it becomes part of your internal personality. Okay.
How come the Tzal Melokim aspect didn't jump out first? Rabbi said that the etzem, every person,
it's different the Tzal Melokim is much more strong. I said that's the deepest, and therefore it's the strongest force. Doesn't mean it couldn't jump out right away.
But by Shaul, why didn't that jump out first? If that's stronger than his jealousy, then...
What does that mean that our subconscious is closer to Tzal Melokim?
There are many shikhvas. There are many, many levels. There are many desires. So one of your desire is you read the Messiah Sisharim, that the Nefesh Lo Tishma, right, the Messiah Sisharim, that a person, the Roni Shanasa Bas Mawa, right, Nefesh Lo Yimale, that he says that if you give the Nefesh everything, they're not happy. Why? Because the Neshama wants Ruchnius. So the deepest feeling that you have is a desire for Ruchnius. So that's the strongest feeling that you have in your being. It might be very buried. Very buried means it doesn't come out right away. It's buried. It's hidden. It's hidden under 50 layers of dirt, so to speak. But it's there, so that a person can never be fully happy with Gashmias, because that's what Mr. Sharma is saying, because that's what his deepest level of his premius doesn't want Gashmias. So that's
Rabbi saying if I give power to that being,
that's
more
the strongest
closer,
four. That's really level. The thing that makes you the most happy, then it's the strongest, but it could be it's buried. And since it's buried, so its voice doesn't get heard.
So if I bring it up more, Rabbi saying it might get subconscious, right. So
okay.
Be faster.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Anyway, do me a favor. Read this piece.
Right.
It's a very, very interesting piece. I know it's very hard to read. So, so you have to read it.
Didn't Rabbi say by Sarah that she, when she heard...
Okay, Yeshikaya, I gotta go.
She heard the news and then she died. She wasn't able to change that initial feeling of like.
I want to make it onto the website.